Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we're going to continue all your Blackhawks coverage with Brent Sopel here live in studio with Paul Farvar and Curtis Shaw Flagg. We also have music from the Chicago group Out for Hours. And now to start your week off right, here is Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Michael, you must have recorded that before the end of the game because I am not starting. The week is not starting out well at all. Brent Sopel, would you say that this week is starting out very well at all?
Well, it was because the game started on Monday but ended up Tuesday, so the week did start well.
Fair.
Finished up.
Thank you, Brent.
Yeah,
thank you.
I just have to clarify things.
Fine.
You know, it's late,
Michael,
Patty.
Right.
I know.
And it was a beautiful day out. Monday was gorgeous.
Oh, you know what? It's nice to mix in the sun once every 6 months here in Chicago. So today, actually, I want to live in Chicago. Another 364 days, I want to leave here.
Fair enough. I think that's fair. One of the reasons people love our city is our great sports teams. Top of that list are the Blackhawks. This is hard for people. By the way, 312-981-7200. Join our conversation anytime if you have questions for Brent Sopel, who, by the way, he knows. He's been on the ice. He knows what these circumstances are like. Maybe not the specific situation the Blackhawks find themselves in, down 3 games to none against the Predators. It's fine. We're fine. It's just
yeah, you know what? You have to look at it that, you know, that they're fine, and there's 2 games in between here, and, you know, next game's Thursday at 7 o'clock, so thank God for, you know, that early start so they can get on their schedule, you know, on the game day skate and, you know, get themselves focused. But, you know, all they have to worry about is, you know, is the first 5 minutes. You can only win one game. And go back to 2011, they were down 3-0 against Vancouver Canucks, and, you know, they found a way to force game 7, so you have to look at the positive, you know, aspect that this core group has been in this situation before, so it's not nothing new. They've been there, they've done that, and, you know, they know what they do. They know they haven't been their best to this point in time, and, you know, obviously it's an overtime loss, but they put a better effort forward, so they know, you know, if they put that effort forward, that that they know that they can by all 18 skaters and, you know, give themselves the best opportunity against, you know, a Nashville player or a Nashville Predators team that's playing out of their mind right now. And you got to give them some credit.
I know that's what you were mentioning when we talked last week after the first win, because you were talking about how they completely dominated. As soon as they scored that first goal, they dictated the way the pace of the game for the rest of it. And that seems how they've been until tonight's game. The Blackhawks, as you mentioned, really were fighting back hard. Crawford was doing an amazing job in the net, but this was rough.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, they obviously got that first goal by Rasmussen, which was a great play by Panic. You know, good effort. Marcus Gruber with a great pass. They wanted the lead. They, you know, got the 2-0 lead, and we're playing decently. I won't say that they still were playing great. You know, Nashville had some good opportunities. Corey Crawford was outstanding again. You know, tonight did his job. You know, gave that team opportunity to win. But then Nashville just kind of kept going, and the momentum started, you know, slowly shifting, and then that momentum completely shifted once they got that 2-1 goal.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, goes off, you know, off the glass, and Corey Crawford couldn't find it, and Philip Forsberg, you know, found a way to tap it in, and that you know, Bridgestone Arena was going crazy. They said during the intermission, or excuse me, during the TV timeout. The fans just stand cheering. There's no music. They just stood and cheered for, you know, the whole 2 minutes. Now, yeah, if you're a home, you know, home fan, and you know, sitting on that bench and watching these people go crazy, obviously the momentum's on your side. You want to get back out there, and what did they do? They went back out there and a few minutes later tied the game up.
Yeah, they were quick. Jazzy's on the line, has something to add to the conversation. Hey, Jazzy, how you doing? Jazzy?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Asking Brent if he thinks our core players are getting old and just writing out their contracts, what incentives do they have to outperform?
Yeah, Jazz, you know, that's a good question. Appreciate the call. I know these core guys. Obviously, they're brothers to me. We've bled on the same ice. We've won together. There's no better feeling than winning, and these guys want to win. I can tell you that right now. They all want to win. They don't want to ride out their contracts. None of them look at it that way. I know each one of these personally. You know, I could share a love story and shed a tear with each one of these guys. So
I kind of want to hear some of that.
that's another night, Patty.
Okay, fine. But, I'll bring more lamps.
these guys want to win. They truly want to win. They're winners. Now, you know, I take a look at Jonathan Toews. Obviously, he's the captain. He'll go down in his history. He's one of the best captains. He's won everything. He wants to win. Duncan Keith, you know, list goes on and on. These guys want to win. Unfortunately, they're coming up short right now. And at some point in time, you know, I'll repeat myself because you have to give credit where credit's due. Nashville, they're flying around 100 miles an hour. It's like kids on crack right now, and they're just a step faster. They're wanting the puck more than the Blackhawks right now. That's not saying, you know, that's not the fact that the Blackhawks don't want to win and they just want to ride their contracts. These guys got make a lot of money, but there's no better feeling than winning that Stanley Cup. They all want to win. They want to bring that fourth Stanley Cup back to Chicago in the worst way. You know, everybody's using the word as dynasty after the last one, and there's no better feeling than winning, like I said. And I can tell you, each and every one of these guys want to win that Stanley Cup. They want to get this first game, Thursday night, and get the ball rolling in the right direction.
Thank you so much for calling, Jazzy. I know Robert also wanted to ask a question. Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
What do you want to ask?
My question is, in the last, Toews and Kane has won three cups playing together on a regular line. The two times they have not won against L.A. in seven games, last year in St. Louis, seven games, the common theme was they were split up. It hurt especially last year. They were put together for game 5 and 6 after being down to St. Louis 3-1, came back to tie the series. In the seventh game, after one shift together, Coach Q split them up again, and they went on to lose. I cannot understand it. Q is a good coach, but it seems on this one point, he has probably cost the cup, the Hawks, two more cups, I think.
Brent?
Yeah, I know. That's... you know, good question. Obviously, you got your two horses, which is 88-19, and you know, they're the leaders. But in the NHL, as I talked about a little bit earlier, any team can win. And why is that? Because the depth of every player and every team is very deep. And you know, you don't see too many lines. You know, for an example, you got Anaheim. Obviously, you talk about Anaheim Ducks. You talk about Ryan Getzlaff, their captain, and you talk about Corey Perry and Ryan Kessler. Those are your three horses right there. They've got those on three lines. They got Corey Perry on their third line to give them depth. Now, does Joel Quenneville, split the lineup of Anisimov, you know, Kane and Panarin, which has been absolutely dynamite the last 2 years? There's no line that trio, there's nobody else has been better. Does he look at it and try and break them up and go with the, you know, putting, I don't know, maybe put up Hossa with, you know, Kane and Toews? You know, he's definitely going to be thinking about that. There's no question. You're down to your last leg right now, and you're gonna pull out all stops. And it's a good question, good observation. You know, I like where your head's at on that one. And you know, Joel Quenneville, I guarantee, you know, they're gonna sit back down and they're gonna watch this game probably 4 or 5 times. You know, coaches always replay these games, watch them, break it down, see where the mistakes are, where they can improve. So they're gonna really look this thing down, and don't be surprised if you see, you know, the horses together, you know, 88-19, you know, come in the drop of puck come Thursday night.
We're taking your calls and comments or questions, anything you want to add about the Blackhawks game tonight. 312-981-7200. You can text us or call us. We'd love to hear from you. It's just one event. If you just, you know, we're here, we're amongst friends, we can hug, we can console each other, and also pep each other up. I think that's the thing. You know, I know Karin was talking about this over the weekend when fans were booing the Blackhawks. Yeah. I can't even imagine being at a sporting event and ever booing my team. Well, I get upset and frustrated, but no. I don't get that. Well, that's, I mean,
because you know, when you set a bar as high as the Chicago Blackhawks have set. Now if we're talking about the Bears, what are we talking about?
Are we going to boo the Bears? I wouldn't boo the Bears either.
Who doesn't boo the Bears?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know,
see, but
so,
here's the difference. I don't buy a ticket. I just boo from home.
Yeah, but when you win three Stanley Cups, you know, within 4 years, and you're in the top of the Western Conference, and you're top of the NHL year after year, the fans expect better. The ownership expects better. Rocky Wirtz all the way down to John McDonough, Jay Blanc, they expect Scotty Bowman to Stan Bowman, you know, the list goes on. They, you know, expect, you know, obviously perfection. They expect better efforts. They expect to be in a Stanley Cup final every single year. And if it's not, it, you know, it's a disappointment. So that's, as fans, when you're used to that, you know, and they have their rights. You should, you know, obviously.
All right, fine. That's what I would do. Is what
the fans of, you know, when I was playing, you know, telling me how much I suck, and, you know, get me off the ice and trade me for a bag of pucks and you're worthless.
Wow.
A T-bone steak for you anytime, you know. And they're you know, obviously they pay their money.
Does that help though? Here, let's take a break and let's live there for a minute. Bag of pucks for Brent Sokol.
I think that sounds like the love story he was talking about before.
Yeah, I think so. Let's take a quick break. We have some live music in the studio with Out for Hours. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late, and a lot of people are in shock, a lot of disappointment around the city of Chicago and all over the country. Blackhawks fans are, many people are on the edge of their seats, really hoping for them to pull this one out. And we go into Thursday's game down 3 games. And I don't think it's time to give up hope. And a lot of people on Facebook are giving up. That's where. What was that?
No giving up hope. Who's giving up hope? Come on.
My one of my high school sweet. Someone I had a crush on named Jason Kruger, but that's his name.
Well, I'll tell Jason. Tell Jason that glass is half full.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. That's the end for the Blackhawks, is what Jason Kruger says.
Well, we're going to go to his house and talk to him.
I had a crush on him, and he asked out this girl named Vicky instead. So it's clear that
What's
he gives
Vicky's
up too easily.
Last name?
Oh, I have to look it up. It is in the midst of our conversation about the Blackhawks. We also are pleased to welcome Out for Hours, our Music Monday band. And we'll talk more about an appearance they have coming up at the Cubby Bear this Saturday night. But here they are playing Caught Up in the Sound.
Love, feel it coming, ain't no rushing. Baby, when I feel your heart pumping, making something from nothing all the way around. All the way down, caught up in a sound. So caught up in a sound. So caught up in a sound. Love is here, it's on the way. When it comes, it's here to stay. You catch it as your hands are bound. So caught up in this love is simplified. Of the apple of our eyes, and you're missing treasure found. So caught up in a sound, just so caught up in a sound on the way down. So caught up in a sound.
Awesome. Hours live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. One of our friends of the show wanted to let you know. Tell them their harmonies are sick, nasty, and that lead picking is on point.
So on fleek.
I feel like those are
on
very
fleek.
Technical
is that
terms.
What he meant to say?
I think that's what he meant to say.
That's out for hours, and their song caught up in our sound or the sound. Did it, at one point, did you say
it could
in,
be
our,
in your sound?
Didn't it say our sound at one point, or did I misread
probably
the lyrics?
Probably. We probably botched the words.
No, so you didn't. I didn't mean to lock into that.
Can you guys do it again?
We yeah, could you please?
Yeah, you gotta
from the
it
top,
up.
Boys.
If you don't mind. 312-981-7200. You can see Out for Hours this Saturday night at Cubby Bear. We are taking the third phone call for free tickets to see them at Shoe Shine Boy Productions anniversary. 17 years for Paul Farvar. As
yeah.
Is that my phone again? Is that my phone again? Every week it happens. You know what? As far as train wrecks go, I would rather I be the train wreck on a weekly basis than what happened tonight in Nashville. See what I did there? You didn't think I was going to pivot that way?
That's
there.
A hell of a deflection.
Did you see that?
Well done.
Yes.
People are in despair tonight, Brent, and you are here to talk them through it. I'm not saying you're going to make them feel better. But you can certainly talk them through it. Don is on the line. Hey, Don, what do you want to say?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Pretty well. Go ahead.
Great music on the great music that just passed by. But my question has to do with the aggressiveness of the Hawks as the series wears on. I felt to a certain degree the Hawks need to be a little bit more aggressive with their checks, winning those 50-50s. I feel like Coach Q has been sort of reserving the energy of our crew to kind of be more aggressive later on in the series. But really, we kind of underestimated these Predators to a certain degree. And I feel like we're not being aggressive enough on the 50-50s and on the check. And my comment has to do with the aggressiveness of the Hawks. At this point, early on in the first round of the playoffs, my question is, are we going to get a little bit more aggressive, in this next game and winning those 50-50s, especially on the boards, getting those crucial plays and, making sure that, the Predators know that, the Hawks are a physical, aggressive team.
Does Coach Q hold him back, tell him to rein it in early on in the series?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. But no, you're absolutely right. They do have to be more aggressive. They've got to be on those 50-50 pucks. They got to make sure those 50-50 pucks are theirs. And right now, Nashville's winning all those 50-50 pucks. And Joel Quenneville definitely hasn't told him to hold back, boys. Just conserve some energy because this is. This is a really good team, and I really think that a lot of people weren't giving Nashville Predators enough credit, for the team they are. Now, if you make the playoffs, all 16 teams, you make it for a reason. You have the ability to win, and Nashville finished, yes, I think it was 15 points back of the Chicago Blackhawks. But if you want to break that up over, the 7 months of the NHL season, that's one win. And Nashville Predators scored 240 goals, while the Blackhawks scored 244, and everybody, thought about the Chicago Blackhawks as being, offensive and very potent. Well, Nashville Predators had 12 guys score 10 or more goals. The Blackhawks had 7.
Wow.
You know, so I really don't think there was enough credit given to the Blackhawks, but you know he's absolutely right on. No, there are no question. They need to be more aggressive on all pucks, on all bodies. You know, they have to empty the tanks because you can't worry about game five till you win game four. Mm-hmm. And they have to worry about winning, you know, the first period. So Joel Quenneville is going to tell them, listen, boys, you lay it all on the line. You know, we're going to do whatever we have to do. We're going to make whatever lineup changes, whatever X and O's changes we're going to have to make. But you have to empty those tanks. You have to put them through the boards. You know, you got to start winning faceoffs. The faceoffs, you know, Nashville was 57% to the Hawks, 43%. That doesn't bode well. No, the Hawks are a puck position team. They want that puck. Now, Nashville's small, skilled, and very speedy. Now, you give them the puck. What are the Hawks doing? They're playing more defensively. They want to play in the offensive zone, so they got to start winning those faceoffs also.
Yeah, no, that was something that struck me when I was watching as much as I could. We have David calling from Alberta, Canada. Hey, David, how are you doing?
Well, I'm not doing very well for an almost 50-year-old man that's crying after the WGN telecast in his room. How does that sound?
Oh, David.
I'm with you, David. I'll second that one. And I was in the fetal position.
It's true. I couldn't get him out from underneath the desk. I was like, come on. Come on, Brent.
Well, Brent, you cheered me up after we had that good conversation a couple nights ago. And all I'm going to ask you, because I like what that one caller just said about stacking up the horses, but this is how I looked at this game. I'm thinking it's 2-0. If Schmaltzy scores, they've got him. But it's game of momentum. And I'm just going to say this. The best the stretch that the Blackhawks played was that February through March, and they were flying, and they looked so good. And actually that's why I'm disappointed, because at the beginning of the year, we won games on Crawford. Corey Crawford won a lot of games, and I knew we had to see how these young kids were going to develop, and they developed probably more than they expected, our management team did. But my take is this, that stretch in February to March was phenomenal for the Blackhawks because they rotated four lines. And when you're rotating four lines, that means that Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Hossa, all the horses don't have to play. Now you're behind, so it's not Quenneville's fault. You're behind. That first game in Chicago that's why he had that practice, because the flag was raised right there. We're in trouble, you guys. And now you're right, you guys. We're a skilled team. We're a puck possession team. You know Michael Hamzius a couple of years ago when everyone laughed about him? Well, he's a great face-off man. Antoine Vermette, when he won the cup the last time in 15, guess what? Another great face-off guy. You're right. Puck chasing is a killer. What I'd like to see, Brent, and this is because I would like to see more guys like you in the lineup, because at the end of the day, our team, over the years we won cups, and the last one was when you were playing, was we need to take liberties. Like, we're the easiest team to play against. And I'm not saying with our forwards as much, but our defense need to punish guys more, like Brent Seabrook does. But my question is, and getting back to this whole who you're going to start, I would like to see Joel Quenneville put in Thomas Yurko and maybe Hennestroza. And I love Jordan Tutu, and he's a great guy. Maybe we can leave him. You guys, I'm being positive here for the end time.
Go for it.
In the rough series, because you're playing LA and Anaheim, and somebody takes a liberty against one of our guys, Jordan Tutu, his job is to go to be the referee. But now we need to get skill, and I think that's killing us. Those young studs from Nashville, and that's killing our older guys. So we need to get continuity. We got to get everything going, and we got to stack up on the offense. I'm sorry, right now, and go with four good lines so that it just looked like Toews and Kane played pretty good today, but Toews and Hossa and them looked tired. All our guys looked tired, Brent. Is that my just listening and watching, or do you see that too?
I agree with all your points. Obviously, let's go back to, you know, Jordan Tutu. You know, he ended up playing just shy of 7 minutes. Ryan Hartman ended up, 8.5 minutes. And obviously, the Blackhawks have been a team that rolled four lines for that energy so that you could do that. But, game of inches, obviously, you go back to Johnny Oduya, on the penalty kill off the instanchion, and obviously Pekka-Rinne just diving back and getting there. So you're definitely going to see some lineup changes. Jordan Tutu is probably definitely one of them that is going to come out. Rasmussen, Kruger, Panic. I thought that was the best line, and nothing against those guys. That can't be your best line. Where I'm struggling with is Anisimov was 12% on the faceoffs. that can't happen, especially when you're playing with that line with Patrick Kane and Panarin, because they want the puck. They don't want to chase that puck. They want to have that puck, and you can't have that. You need to win those faceoffs. So who's going to go in? I wouldn't be surprised if you see Hinostroza, you know, come in for Jordan Tutu. You know, with Ryan Hartman playing 8 minutes, what's he going to do there? I'm not sure. It's a guessing game, between those two guys. But if you're bang on, it's playoff time. You've got to play in your face hockey. Guys come to the net. Now you take a look at whenever there's somebody going to the net. You got Ryan Ellis is a small guy, but he's got this stick in the face. How many PK, Subban tonight was all over how many guys. You know, you got to play tough. It's playoff hockey. They're not going to call a lot of penalties. They're square up. You're going to be able to get a cheap shot, a spear, a cross check, somewhere along the way. So Corey Crawford can continue doing what he's doing.
We've got to take a break here. News and more of your questions, comments, and music on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late, and we are commiserating with each other after the Blackhawks go down 3-0 in the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Nashville Predators. We have some live music. It's Music Monday. I feel like music can
therapeutic.
It is therapeutic. It can bolster you. So live in studio, we have Out for Hours. They'll be playing on Saturday night at the Cubby Bear for Shoe Shine Boys 17th anniversary. Again, that's on Saturday at the Cubby Bear. Here they are with the Bar Song.
I want to go out. It's Monday night, I'm all alone, and I can't seem to find no one at all. And I have no doubt that everyone has all gone out, and I'm left here all on my own. And I turn the TV loud, my 30 pack has just run out, and I keep on staring at my car. And I'm thinking, what the hell? It's not that far. So I grabbed change from my mayonnaise jar, and then I took a trip up to the bar. And there you are,
and there you are,
all sitting at the corner of the bar, drinking silently. And here I am,
and here I am,
whoa, I'm drunk and I just wanna hold your hand. And watch you smile at me.
Watch you smile at
and
me.
And watch you smile at me.
Smile at me.
When tonight, well, this moment couldn't be more right. I'm strutting as I'm walking down the hall, and I feel alright. I'm a ladies' man, I'm hot tonight. Oh, that could just be the alcohol. And there you are,
and there you are,
who I'm sitting at the corner of the bar, drinking silently. And here I am,
and here I am,
whoa, I'm drunk and I just wanna hold your hand. And watch you smile at me,
watch you smile at
and
me,
and watch you smile at me,
smile at me.
To alcohol, the room is spinning, I'm about to fall on my face again, cause I'm so wasted.
One, two, oh, one, two,
and
three,
there
four.
You are,
and there you are,
while sitting at the corner of the bar, drinking silently. And here I am,
and here I am,
whoa, I'm drunk and I just wanna hold your hand. And watch you smile at me,
watch you smile at
and
me,
watch you smile at me,
smile at me.
One more time, there you are,
and there you are,
whoa, I'm sitting at the corner of the bar, smilingly. And here I am.
And here I am.
Whoa, I'm drunk and I just wanna hold your hand. And watch you smile at me.
Watch you smile at me.
Watch you smile at me.
Smile at me.
Everybody felt like going out to the bar.
Yeah.
during that song, after the game. How about you, Brett Sobel?
Way past my bedtime.
Is it way past your bedtime?
I'm too old for that.
My ex-girlfriend was the one that was sitting at the corner of that bar.
Oh. Oh.
That's fine, though.
Her loss.
Yeah. Your gain.
That was our Music Monday. That's our Music Monday guests out for hours, and they're playing this Saturday night at the Cubby Bear. We're going to give a pair of tickets, actually, to Danny, who's been on hold for like 20 minutes. Oh. Danny, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys?
All right. You good to go out on
thanks,
us?
Thanks for hanging on for 20 minutes.
I got a pizza for you, too. I'm not going to just...
No problem. I love it. Soap, how are you feeling, buddy?
You know what? I'd like to say I'm feeling a heck of a lot better than I am right now, but after tonight, I'm not too good.
Man, I heard you talking about people were wanting to trade you for a bag of pucks. Forget about that. I want to know how the legs are. I might want to see number 5 out there over number 3.
Yeah. start a petition. I'm ready to go.
Hashtag draft Brent right now.
That's right. Get him out there. That's a good idea.
On that same line, I'm hearing people all of a sudden are questioning Coach Quenneville right now. I mean, calm down, Hawks fans. I'm not saying, oh, okay, we got this. We're fine. We got him. But this is Coach Quimbo we're talking about, one of the best coaches in the history of the league. So I don't want to hear people calling in talking about, oh, why is he breaking up Kane and Taves and all this stuff. That's madness. I would, you know, now we're backs against the wall. I would like to see maybe a Kane, Taves, Panarin line for this next game. Maybe so we can actually get the puck into their hands. Maybe Johnny can win some faceoffs. I was a little flabbergasted to see a guy like Marian Hossa make I thought that drop pass was awful at the end of the game. Ended up leading to the possession that it was. At the end of the day, you got to trust hosts to do the right thing.
Wow.
But that was perplexing to me.
You know, and what was the last, and I don't even remember the last time, you know, we had a negative comment around Marian Hossa. It's been
long since
he's actually really even made a mistake.
For sure, I love him. I was shocked to see that.
Yep.
The main thing that I was calling about to get your kind of take on, the Hawks locked up the West surprisingly. You know, like at the end of March, after being looked like they couldn't even reach the Central title, and then they really took the foot off the gas, started resting guys, and kind of like, you know, waiting it out, see what the playoffs, you know, kind of let's take the foot off the gas, let's get rested, ready for the playoffs. And it seems like they thought they're going to be able to flip the switch, and it seems like they haven't been able to do so. You see this in the NBA where guys rest and LeBron can take over a game and win. But in hockey, it's a totally different sport. You need the chemistry, you need the flow. How do you feel about that rest versus keeping the flow going, going into the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, that's, there's a very, very fine line, you know, with that, you know, there was 4 games that they took off, the one in Colorado, then they went to, you know, Anaheim and, LA, and I can't remember what the other one was, but, you know, it's you're up against a rock and a hard place when it comes to this. If those 4 games, when you have to, you have to rest guys. You just finished number 1 in the West. You expect to make a long run. You expect to compete for the Stanley Cup. So you want to give some of your some of your veterans some time off. Do I think that's an issue? Well, the issue is they've lost 7 in a row now. Going back to those 4 losses, and it's definitely not a light switch. My philosophy is you always got to practice the way you play. I had to practice hard because you get in bad habits, and you know I think the Hawks may have a few bad habits. Game 1 and game 2, the effort wasn't there. The effort was better there tonight, but I'm fine with the rest. because you just don't expect you know, the effort that, that's come out of there. But also the Nashville Predators have stifled them. The way they're playing, you know, I had 120%. You know, they're playing that good right now. So you gotta give the, you know, tip the hat to them. But I'm fine with the 4-game rest. If you start getting to 5 games, 6 games, 7 games, 8 games, where you're floating into the playoffs, that gets yourself in a lot of trouble. And you're back to Joe Quenneville. You're absolutely right. He's the second winningest all-time coach for a reason. I never question what Joel does. He finds a way to push the right buttons. But the puck luck wasn't there tonight. You got Johnny Oduya dumped it off the partition, and Pekka Rinne finds a way to get the paddle on it just to keep it out. Then, you know, at the end of the game or in the third period, you know, gets off the partition, comes back in front of the net, and you know, Nashville finds a way to put it in. So Nashville right now is creating their breaks, and the Chicago Blackhawks aren't. That's a difference in my mind.
I'm fine, Paul. It's all good. It's
I think that all we really need is a rain delay and give Jason Hayward a call.
That's right.
Have him speech. Come to Nashville.
Yes. Oh.
And this thing can turn around.
Danny, hold on the line. Michael's going to take your information. What were we saying?
I was just going to say, like, I've been to Nashville a few times for games, particularly against the Hawks, and I also feel like we're thinking glass half full right now. I feel like Nashville really came out hot. I feel like they were, and I think at this point, especially with an overtime win, we may have them in a position where they're a little gassed. And let's say, hypothetically, that there was a little rest going on with the Veterans. Well, back against the wall now. they're about as rested as they can get.
Get that adrenaline going.
You know, so that aggressiveness and a lot of the points that a lot of these callers are bringing up may actually come to fruition because of the fact that, you know, I mean, Nashville probably played above their own expectation from what I saw today.
Well, from their above their expectations from starting game one, I'll give you an example. Actually, my dad was in Nashville in March, and they played the New York Islanders, and I used to play for the Islanders, and so I'm texting back and forth. My daddy's like, "Oh, I hate going to games. I wish you were still playing." I'm like, "Oh, you're telling me, Dad, beat it. I wish I was out there too." But he goes, I text him after the game, you know, "How was the game?" He goes, "It was horrendous. I don't think I've ever seen a worse hockey game." He's like, "I don't see how Nashville can even make the playoffs."
Wow.
And that was right at the end of March. So not far off the time period where we're talking, where the Chicago Blackhawks were resting guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how, you know, so they're paying at 120%.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like I said, they've got the rookies that are scoring. Everybody's doing above and beyond right now of what their expectations over themselves. They're not going to say that to us in the media. No, we believe it, they believe, but they'd never believe that they could be playing this well.
Right. Yeah. We're sending out a gift card for Lou Malnati's to our friend Danny and Logan Square. It's the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40 Chicagoland locations at loumalnati's.com. More after this on 720 WGN.